This interview with Joachim Vanskans of the Heidelberg University about quasar microlensing is part of the Jodcast. For the full show, visit jodcast.net.
I'm standing with Professor Joachim Vanskans from Heidelberg University of Germany. Can you perhaps tell us about quasar microlensing?
Yes, quasar microlensing deals with objects that are very far away in the universe. Quasars are very luminous objects that are at the edge of the universe. The centers of quasars are black holes, and they accrete matter, and during this process they emit very large luminosities. Now, gravitational lensing deals with matter between this very distant object and our telescopes, matter that passes in front of the quasar.
This matter can be a galaxy?
Indeed, the galaxies that are directly in front of such a quasar manage to produce two or three or four images of the quasar that are separated by a very small angle on the sky. This is sometimes called gravitational lensing or macrolensing. Each galaxy consists of stars, like our Sun. And if such a star passes directly in front of the quasar, then it can change the apparent brightness of the quasar. That means with our telescopes, we see the quasar fluctuate in brightness. This can happen on a timescale of a few weeks or months. We see the quasar image getting brighter and then fainter again.
So microlensing means that you are using galaxies as a lens, but you're using stars that pass in front of quasars, which makes it microlensing.
That's correct. And the difference is that a star would also produce two images from a quasar, but these two images are very, very close together in the sky. So no telescope on Earth is able to distinguish the two images. What we can measure, however, is the combined brightness of the two images. And since this changes with time, due to the fact that the star moves in front of the background quasar, we can monitor with our telescopes the change in brightness. And this helps us measure two things. One is we get information on the lensing object, on the star. And the other effect is we can study the background quasar in much more detail than we could without this additional magnification effect of the microlenses.
Have you observed many quasars in this way?
There are about 100 quasars known that are multiply imaged, that are macrolens, where we see two, three, four images. And we have managed to get data on about 15 or 20 of them in order to study this microlensing effect. However, it's a bit difficult to get data of this kind, because in most observatories on Earth, observers go there for 3 nights or for 5 nights and get some exposure, and then they go back home and analyze their data. Whereas for this kind of science, we need time series. That means we would need one image per quasar, ideally every night. And normal modern big telescopes are not made for this purpose. Therefore, some sub-branch of astronomy deals with small telescopes, but they are so-called dedicated telescopes. They are made for one purpose only, and then they can take these images essentially every night.
So what telescopes have you used for this project?
Well, these are telescopes of order 1 meter diameter or up to 2 meter diameters that are at different locations around the Earth. The most successful one is the so-called Ogle telescope in Chile, but there are other telescopes in South Africa, in Australia. The most important fact is not so much the size of the telescope for our purpose, because these quasars are relatively bright. What is more important is that the local atmospheric conditions are very good. This is what astronomers call the seeing. Every point-like star is smeared out due to the atmosphere. And at poor locations, that means the images are just very broad. And we need very sharp images. And therefore, the good atmospheric conditions at these sites are very useful for us.
Do you have any recent results on this?
Well, yes, we do. We saw changes of quasars, brightening changes due to microlensing that made the quasars by a brighter by a factor of 3 or so in a relatively short time of days or weeks. And this helps us get constraints on the size of the quasar. So we could figure out that this disk around the black hole of the quasar is relatively small, smaller than what many other colleagues or astronomers thought in the past. And we hope that we can refine these measurements and get even better results in the next few months and years.
Thank you very much.